Once again, let's turn to the Word of God, our only light and direction, to the same passage we had earlier read in 2 Corinthians. This is a book written by the great apostle. Please understand who the apostle was. The greatest ever living other than the Lord Jesus, who gave us half of the New Testament and wrote those wonderful epistles containing the eternal truth of God, so precious. We are going to read part of it. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians. Remember that the church at Corinth was founded by the great apostle Paul. He went there in the midst of persecution. Not like our missions, always so tame, so peaceful. But for Paul, every mission, every day was fraught with peril and danger. And there he was, writing a letter to the church that he had founded in one of the capital cities of Greece. You can still go there today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here the apostle is writing to the Christians, and that same letter applies to us. May the Spirit of God speak to you, so that you hearing, please pay attention. I have said this, and I want to remind you again. Never listen to a sermon just haphazardly, as though you're listening to some fairy tale. No. This is God's everlasting, eternal, infallible word of life. So what must you do when you listen? Pray in your heart. Pray for what? For Holy Spirit illumination. So as you pray, the Spirit of God will speak to you through the word. This word is the word of truth, of light, of life. Listen. Follow as I read. We then, as workers together with God, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. This is speaking to you, dear friends. It says, you who are believers, who have been saved by so great a sacrifice, do not receive this great grace of God in vain. In other words, you've got to appreciate and then return thanks in a positive way. Never be a positive, be a passive and non-contributing Christian. There is no such a thing. Do you know this? Verse 2. For he says, I heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now these are very important words. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Not wait till another more favorable day. Now, meaning to say, it's urgent. You may not see tomorrow, do you know that? So now, today, we must go about, busy ourselves with God's business. Oh, what a privilege. Verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. We are here engaged in the ministry of declaring the word of God to the saving of souls. Let this ministry always be blameless, not just from the pulpit, not just by the session, but by every member. Everyone who names the name of Christ, let you live a life that is blameless, so that the ministry be not blamed. Verse 4. Now verse 4 to 10 is a description, and I want you to pay special attention. A description of what a Christian servant should be prepared to face and suffer. Because this is the cause that Paul the Apostle went through. He suffered all these things. We may not even taste 1/100th of it. Not even 1%, I may say. Nevertheless, we must be ready. What is it? Verse 4. In all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, he said, how can that apply to me? I'm not a minister of God, right? Answer is wrong. We all who have received the gospel of salvation, we become servants of God. And the minister means a servant, as one who serves. Now you understand that in all things, verse 4, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. These describe Paul's experience so that we may appreciate, so that when we go through anything of that kind, we may understand why. We are saved not just to believe, we are saved also to be ready to suffer. For what is this suffering in the body that we may go through? It's nothing. Nothing compared with what we shall receive when we are translated into the eternal kingdom of God, our destination. Now you follow. Verse 5. Again, I want to impress on you, as you read through verses 5 now to 10, another 6 more verses, all these describe the experience of Paul, not of me or you. We hardly even experience 1% of, or not 1/100th of it. No, nothing. But we must be prepared too. Because we have been purchased with such a price. Now, verse 5. In stripes, you know what is stripes? Now in Singapore, the law does not allow even parents to touch their children. Do you know that? In America and Canada, I'm told, and I've experienced this, the mother who beats the child is taken to the police station, and the child is 11 years old, says, my mother abused me. Who taught her the child? The school teachers. This is the teaching today. Parents cannot touch children. And if the child does not like it, go to the police station. For Paul, for preaching the gospel, for telling the people the good news, how to escape the everlasting hell fire and to be translated into a place of eternal bliss to live with God. For that he got stripes, beating. Now we follow. Please. Imprisonments. Tumults. What is tumult? Rioting. Unrest. The whole community uprise against this fellow called Paul. Angry that he came to the city to stir up things, and that people became no more in love with idols and burned their idols. Wow! The whole community was up in arms. Tumults, labors, watchings, fastings. Verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Oh, dear friends, what a recital of the experience of Paul the Apostle. What do you mean by love unfeigned? He said, I care for you. For most of us, it is lip service. I care for you. And that's the end of it. For Paul, he goes right through. He will preach the gospel and be beaten and put into prison. Love unfeigned. Unfeigned means no pretense. If he says he loves you, he loves you with his own body and his safety. He goes to prison. Verse 7. But the word of truth, every word of this gospel of Jesus Christ is true. You can bet. We don't need to bet. But you can put your full and complete trust in every word in this book. The book, Word of Truth. By the power of God, every word of God is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know this? How well do you know your Bible? We have Bible memorization. For most of us, yes, in church we know it. Once we go home, off with it. I want to suggest that we all learn, pray, Lord, give me love for your word. Because the word is powerful, and if you absorb the word today, and that word is ingrained in your mind and in your heart, there is a hope for you in the days to come. So many of our young people, because they refuse to know the word of God thoroughly and to love the word, once they grow up, they say, I've graduated, I don't need to come to church. How sad. How sad it is. And then we go out and win other souls. When our own children will not continue in the faith. Now, verse 7 says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand, on the left hand. In other words, our commitment to the word of God must be total. Yes, complete. Right hand, left hand. Morning and night. Before food, after food. Verse 8. By honor and dishonor. By evil report, good report. As deceivers, yet true. As unknown and yet well known. As dying and behold, we live. This is a description of Paul's experience. You cannot attain anything near it. Not at all. We can only read and marvel that this man was willing to carry the cross, willing to go anywhere, everywhere with the word of God and face honor, dishonor. Yes, when people know the gospel, they honor him. The rest of the enemies, they dishonor him. And so you have evil report, good report, depending on the hearers. Verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Amazing man. A man of tears and sorrow. Because he walked in the footsteps of his master. And Jesus Christ our Lord is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. All for our sakes. And what was Paul doing the same? All for the sake of the gospel that he had received. Remember the day he was converted. Do you ever remember? Do you recall? On the road to Damascus, armed with letters of authority, warrants of arrest, going to Damascus to catch Christians, and there on the road to Damascus, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross and rose for us. On that road he appeared and accosted, confronted this special man, an enemy of the cross, called Saul of Tarsus. And Saul was struck down. This is the man who wrote this epistle. A great enemy who went about to do harm to the church of God. On that day he met his Waterloo. You know his Waterloo? Where Napoleon was defeated decisively And there he met his defeat. I thought I was going to do the right thing for the establishment, for the Jewish church. Because Jesus Christ has come, upset everything. And they say he's alive. I said, nonsense, nonsense. I'm going to prove that he's not alive. I'm going to kill all the Christians. And there, on the road to his destination, Damascus, there the Lord, risen from the dead, confronted him. That turned him around. Complete 180 degrees. For some of us here, you may have had some kind of experience like that. You never understood, never imagined that there can be such a thing as a gospel of life. Did you ever? No. Until you came to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what we all are excited about every Lord's Day. Why are we here? Why must we come to this house of God every Sunday and spend 2 or 3 hours plus the travel and all the inconvenience? What for? What for? Our dear friends, the gospel that has come to us is worth more than life itself. There's nothing else in all the world that can replace the gospel. And for that reason, here is a man who in verse 10 says, as sorrowful. Oh, dear friends, understand this. Paul the Apostle bore the worries and the conflicts and the burdens of all the churches, as he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you read there, you understand. That recital of his sufferings, no one can even touch 1%. There he is sorrowing, not for himself, sorrowful because of the churches, because of their tribulations, because of their worries and their burdens. Is there someone who bears your sorrows today? Our Lord Jesus bore our sorrows, went to the cross to express his complete surrender of himself that we might be saved. So, verse 10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, poor in the things of this world, but making us rich in the things of heaven, eternal wealth that you and I are assured of, all because Jesus rose from the dead. This is the message that we have to preach every Sunday. No other message. Because Christ lives. Dear friends, now the theme for today. I'm going to use the instrument of the overhead projector as one who has not arrive in the computer age. I'm still old-fashioned. Nevertheless, it works. It works. Today's sermon theme, after hearing all that I said, this is the sermon theme that I have in half an hour, so you got to pay attention. The theme for today is, who is an approved Christian? Derived from the passage we have read, who is? I say, you ought to be. Whether you are or not, I don't know. Only you know, and God knows. Who is an approved Christian? And I'm sure, after I have spoken, everyone who has caught the light and knows the Spirit of God in you working, you say, I want to be an approved Christian. How sad to be an unapproved Christian. In other words, a hypocrite. How did you become a Christian? This is a question we all must settle. I say this reverently to all our friends, especially any visitors. Are you sure you're a Christian? I asked one. Are you a Christian? Yeah. I say, how come you're a Christian? I married a lady who is Sunday school teacher. I'm Christian. This is his qualification, dear friends. Are you a true Christian? How did you become a Christian? Oh, by my parents, they're Christians. So, dear friends, Christian parents do not make Christian children, do you understand? Everyone must be born again. Oh, I married a Christian, I've mentioned that. My choice, I chose to be a Christian. Right? Dear friends, wrong. You became a Christian because God chose you, not you chose God. Oh, I went to ACS. This is the exact answer I got. See? What are you? I'm Christian. How do you know? I went to ACS. I say, going to ACS or any other school, Christian school, does not make you a Christian. I was born in England. English, America. All these are Christian countries. I was brought up a Christian. Does that make you a Christian? So I say, how did you become a Christian? You must understand, dear friends. Unless and until you've come to that crisis moment and understand, without Christ, I'm nothing. God's plan for world redemption is one. There is only one plan. There are not many plans. And you are included. If you are a Christian, you are part of that plan. If you are not a Christian, you cannot be part of that plan. But if you are a Christian and do not want to be part of the plan, you are very ungrateful and you cannot be approved. So I say, save sinners. For when Jesus rose to heaven, ascended, what did he say before he ascended? What did he say? Go into all the world, all of you, disciples. If you know the way of salvation, go and tell those who do not. So all of us are workers together with God. What for? To lead other sinners to Christ. Now the question is, are you approved of God? Are you or are you not? Only you know, and God knows. So this is today's theme. Now you ask me, how can I be approved? I want to be approved. I want God to know that I am at His disposal. I want to be used for by Him. Answer, by doing the will of God. As simple as that in words, you know, very simple. But what is the will of God? Do you know? If you know you do it, then you are approved and God accepts you. I say then, thank God for that acceptance and approval. Now the next question. How can I know God's will? How can I know? Here you got to turn to your Bible. So please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are two verses we had learned in Prinsep Street Life Church 60 years ago. And you ought to know it. Everyone here ought to know it. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. When you have found it, we all read together. Ready? Now we read. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished and become part of the plan of God and do all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And unless you read and meditate and pray, how can you know God's will? How can? You don't know God's will by reading Straits Times or by reading any magazine or by listening to television. You are very unlikely you'll ever hear God's will being spoken about on television or computer. I say, dear friends, know God's will and do it. Then you will be approved. This is the theme for today. Am I an approved Christian? How do I know? Why is it wrong for me to do certain things? Why don't I go to the IR? Why don't I go to the casino? It's very good. Enjoy yourself, of course. I say, unless you are willing to read the Word of God obediently, in the Spirit, in understanding, and receive it and accept it and obey it, you cannot know the will of God. You cannot be approved of God. So I say, read the Word of God and know the Word of God. This is the promise of our Savior. You know, shortly before He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus left some very important instructions. Very important. And you ought to know them. Here is one verse from John's Gospel, chapter 16. Jesus was about to depart. And then He left some last words. You know what are last words? Last words are the most important that a person leaves for those he's leaving behind. And here is the Lord Jesus saying, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will guide you. He, who is He? Who is this Spirit of truth? Who is Jesus talking about? Can you answer this? This is the question, I repeat it. Who is the Spirit of truth that Jesus talks about? And the clue is given in John 14, 18. Just 2 chapters back, prior to that verse being spoken by Jesus Christ. He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Who is this Spirit? Here is the answer. I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. Comfortless meaning to say without help. The word comfort in usage in the Bible, in this particular situation, is help. The Holy Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is your help on your right side, on your left side. He is the Comforter. Now, Jesus Christ is going back to heaven. And He says, I will send you another Comforter, like Myself. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you, not in this body again. But My Spirit will come to you. The Spirit of Jesus. Do you understand? Dear friends, do you have the Spirit? Do you have this Comforter? When you have Him, He will guide you and He will lead you into the path of righteousness, and you will not want to do the wrong things because you have the Comforter. How can I have the Comforter? Pray. Read His Word. And obey Him. He will come and reside with you. Did you know this? If you did know, today you'll know. Yes. It's so important you know this, that every saved person, and if you are one, and I trust that all of you are saved, that all of you have found a Savior, and surrendered your lives to Him and say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Because I know without you I have nothing to look forward to. So you are saved because you put all your faith and hope and trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you. That makes you a saved person. Now, every saved person is a worker together with God. Who says so? The Word of God. Yes, it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You read there. And you are also an ambassador for Christ. For we are laborers together with God. Everyone who is saved, you are a laborer together with God. This is your privilege. Don't say, hey, I don't want. No, it is the greatest privilege. Let me give you a very simple and awkward illustration. Your party has won the election. And you have been invited to be a member of the party and a worker together. Are you thrilled? Your party, of course. And our party is the Kingdom of God party. The Lord Jesus Christ came to found that kingdom in the hearts of men on earth. Did you know this? So you are saved. You are a worker. Jesus has gone to heaven. On earth, He has got no hands and feet except yours and mine. No mouth and lips except yours and mine. And He says, Matthew 28:18-20, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is the conqueror. Our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death for us. Our greatest enemy is death. And He has conquered death and given you hope. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell others, because all mankind is afflicted with this one deadly disease called death. Can you tell me if there is anyone who is not afraid of death, who will not be afflicted eventually by death, who will be a victim of death? And here we are, we have the victory over death. And the victor, the one who conquered death for us, is our Lord Jesus. And everyone saved, you become a worker together with God. To tell others, to tell the rest of this dying race of men. Understand there's only one race, not many races. One race. All human beings are Adam's race. All afflicted with that deadly disease called sin. And the end point of sin is death. And there is no victory over death, no remedy, nothing. You say medical research, so important, so wonderful. Nowadays, stem cell research. Now they can do all kinds of marvelous, miraculous things. I say, right? What do you think? Answer is, wrong. Can have any kind of stem cell, all kinds of stem cells, and increase your misery for the next 10 years. You say, wonderful, I got stem cells, now I can live. You can live for another 10 years as a miserable creature. Then you will die again. Nothing can save you from death. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, you are my laborer together with me. Come and join my party. And be a member of the team. How wonderful. This is your privilege. Did you know? Every person is a worker together with God. And Paul says, yes, not just a worker, but an ambassador. Do you know any ambassador? An ambassador is one who is a
courier or carrier of good news of salvation, of peace. You send an ambassador to another country to talk good things, peace, reconciliation to sinners. That's why we are called ambassadors. When Jesus uses you as an ambassador, you can go and tell those who are pining, waiting for death, there is a Savior who gives you life. This is gospel. No other gospel. No other good news. And who is the worker? Who is the laborer with God? Who is the ambassador? Dear friends, I invite you today to consider. To be an approved worker of God is to be an ambassador. When you carry the gospel, it is the good news of peace with God. There's no other good news. You be one. Did you know this? Will you be one? You say, wait until I retire. I'm just about to start my career. I say, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time for you to go. Don't wait until I retire. Or don't wait until I'm old enough. Every one of us can become a witness and an ambassador for Christ right now. Go and tell. Does it take you any trouble? Did you ever consider that you taking the trouble to go and visit somebody or to invite somebody to church and say, come along with me to church tonight. And after that, you hear the gospel, I take you out for a meal. Maybe you got to invest some money in it. Is it worth it? I say, dear friends, for the sake of someone who one day in heaven will say, thank you. Thank you for telling me about Jesus Christ. If you will not go, who will go? Time is now. Don't wait. Who says so? The Word of God says so. Because you may not live for another day. Or that person may not live for another day. Now is the time. It is urgent. Now the concluding. Before we go home. So some of you are hungry and go home. Concluding challenge, Jesus says, the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. We've been saying this so many times. For most of you, it's in by the right ear, out by the left ear. Forget it. I'm too busy to think of such a thing. I say, how about consider this? That because you care, someone in heaven in the day to come will say, thank you. You ever think of this? That someone, maybe your own child, your own son or your own daughter. God help us that we may understand. Everyone who has received the salvation grace of God has become a worker together with God. Laborer together with God. Ambassador for Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant to us spiritual discernment and appreciation of thy great love and the grace of God which passeth all understanding. O Lord God, send us forth to be your servants, witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, approved workers of God, to tell the good news to those who are still perishing in sin and in everlasting death. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we